Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're just so glad you've joined us.
Dr. Linda, I'm glad, again, like you said, we're here, but I think I'm glad you're sitting down. I've got some news, something I need to share with you. My wife and I are having triplets, and
what?
I don't think I can continue on the show.
Triplets? Are you serious?
No, it's April Fool's Day.
What? You're not allowed to do that to me.
Yes, today is April Fool's, and I had to get to that this weekend. And have you ever done that to someone, just catch them off guard, and they totally forget that it's April Fool's Day, and they don't see it coming?
You know what? I have to be honest with you. I get my family almost every year. Now that I'm saying this, they're going to be ready for me this year, but I am like the master at this. I'll get up and be... I don't even know what I've said in the past. It'll be something crazy, and I'll have the family, whole family, believing that that's going to happen.
Well, see, I'm glad this show is on April 1st because I always forget about it, and then April 2nd rolls around, and I think, didn't do anything to anyone. I have to wait a year. So now today
it's on. Well, you got me.
It's on.
So you got it. You got it. You can keep going for the rest of the day when we're finished with this.
One down, several to go. That's for sure.
That's right.
I found a website that has 31 awesome April Fool's jokes, things you can do to your kids, and they will fall for these. It's going to be great.
I just want to apologize right now to the Weigel family for what's about to happen for the rest of this day, and possibly you cannot keep going on the weekend. You have to stop today.
Okay, we'll stop
okay.
today.
Right? Well, listen, I was considering telling Norm that we had won the Dream House on HDTV,
right.
But he already knows the Dream House has passed, so I guess I can't do that anymore, right?
Well, we aren't going to fool you on today's show. Instead, we are talking about something that we hear about often, and that's taking care of yourself. And Dr. Linda, what does that mean, and how do we come from this from a Christian perspective?
I've had, you know, so many people come up to you and they say, you know, are you taking care of yourself? I mean,
right.
People ask you that all the time, right?
Yes.
Especially when you've been a little bit sick.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll say, exercise a little bit of self-care and you'll feel better. But here's the thing. I found that a lot of people are either just unable to do that. I mean, I know a lot of moms listening right now are probably thinking, take care of me. I've got so many other people to take care of.
Exactly.
I'm the last person I think of. Or you get the other response where people are a little bit uncomfortable with the idea because it feels like, especially in our culture today, that if we're talking about doing things for ourselves, it sounds a bit selfish. And
right.
So in some ways, a lot of people associate self-care with being really selfish.
Right. So what does it actually talk about when we say, take better care of yourself? Or what does it mean when my wife says, I need some alone time? Is this an okay thing?
It really is. And that's part of the reason why we want to talk about this today, because there is a balance like everything else that we talk about. But this show, we're going to really do this from a Christian perspective, and it is a little bit different than what the culture is saying. So here's a definition of self-care that I found by somebody named Charles Kraft. I have no idea who he is or who she is, but I love this definition. Self-care addresses those elements of life that allow one to be well in a variety of ways, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally, for the purpose of renewal and personal growth.
But here's the concern when I hear you say that. Does this mean if we're focusing on self-care that we might be promoting self-centeredness or even selfishness? Because sometimes it might feel that way if I spend a lot of time wanting to take care of myself. If I tell Sharon that I need some quiet time with God, it feels like to me that I'm only thinking about what I need.
I know, and that's tough, isn't it, in a family, especially when you're balancing the needs of the whole family with children, and you've got young children. And that whole idea of I need some time alone must really be hard to say. And sometimes it does feel like that, doesn't it?
It's hard to obtain, too.
Yeah, I bet it is.
There's too many people.
And they're pulling at you. So
right.
Here's the thing. If we have the right motive and we understand how to do self-care from a biblical perspective, then I think we're okay. So self-care is so important because, look, Chris, if you don't have those moments, you're just going to end up with burnout. And if we don't take that time to kind of focus on some things that we need to, we're going to have a lot of trouble with stress in our life. So if we do this properly, self-care eventually will lead to us being able to help somebody else because we're going to be in good shape with ourselves.
Right.
But we do need a Christian perspective on how to be self-aware and how to do this and how to look at ourselves in a healthy way when we're kind of assessing ourselves and then developing some strategies for self-care. So I think it's going to be so important that we really get this straight today because we want a lot of people not to have burnout.
I think we can get some good insight on this by looking at the life of Jesus while he was on earth. I mean, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. he had a physical body to take care of while completing his ministry.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this conversation because my friend and professor, Dr. Sing-Yong Tan, who is from Fuller, writes a lot on this topic, and I've read a lot of his work, and you could Google his name and you could find some of his writings on this. Mm-hmm. He says, in the midst of his busy ministry, meeting the needs of many people, Jesus regularly took time off to be in solitude and to pray, to be in communion with the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he lists several scriptures that really back this up. Dr. Tan says that Jesus stayed strong by exercising self-care in the middle of his ministry life. He understood the importance of rest and time alone with the Father.
You know, David did the same thing. He went before the Lord and asked the Lord to search his heart, sort of a spiritual house cleaning, if you will. He spent quiet time before the Lord in prayer and worship. And David was a busy guy.
That's right. I mean,
but he took the time to do that.
That's right. So I think that is important that we see that there are biblical, real people that lived the earth that had to do this. And especially if we talk about Jesus as our example. So it may sound like when we're talking about self-care, the rest of this program, that we're focusing on being selfish, but in truth, responsible self-care is actually a way to deny oneself. The old man may have included laziness or obsessive activities. I mean, a lot of times, think about it. We're inconsistent with our sleep habits. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're working crazy hours. Maybe we're just doing neurotic things with exercise and we're engaging in an unhealthy diet.
Now you're talking to me.
No, I'm speaking to your life.
Here we go
right?
Again. Anyone who listens to this program knows that, generally speaking, I'll be convicted about 10 minutes into the program.
Well, and I usually see you with your Mountain Dew in hand.
See?
All times of the day, which is not the healthiest drink. But here's the thing. Self-denying self-care, on the other hand. We'll hear that again. Self-denying self-care. It sounds a little hard to understand, but this may include getting to bed on time, saying no to work by setting aside time for the actual Sabbath, getting responsible exercise, and eating a balanced diet. So,
well, I think it's easy for anyone who is taking care of others to ignore their own needs at times and then end up feeling burned out. So our goal today is to help all of us make sure that we're taking care of ourselves to the point that we can continue to be of a service to the others. I can tell already that this program is going to contain some good information. Stay with us as we talk about self-care from a biblical perspective. More on the other side of the break on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
Find out what your conflict style is. Click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today's topic is biblical self-care. And Dr. Linda, you have a number of books on the topics of weight loss, body management, dealing with worry and conflict, all areas of self-care, and people can read your blog on your website. And you recently blogged on today's topic, So let's talk about the specific self-care strategies from a biblical perspective.
Well, I'm going to use Dr. Tan's mm-hmm. strategies because I think they're really excellent. And we're going to go through seven of them that were modeled by Christ and given to us. So I think that's important to say. We're not making this stuff up. We're going to do this more from a biblical perspective here. So the first one is Dr. Tan talks about abiding in Christ. And he uses the scripture John 15:5, where Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So in that scripture, the vine is Jesus and we are the branches.
Right.
And so the more connected we stay, the more dependent we are on Christ, the more fruit we're going to bear. So our first strategy really, Chris, is to abide in Christ and to stay connected to him on a daily basis.
It might seem cliche, but I can speak from experience. As soon as you let your Bible study slide just a little bit, you can feel that connectedness begin to wane.
And that's usually when we get stressed, isn't it?
Definitely.
It is for me. I know that if I'm starting to feel kind of freaked out by life, mm-hmm. I realize that I'm not staying connected to that vine. So the second one is to surrender all to him. Now, I know we sing that song all the time in church, but mm-hmm. what we really need to do is make him Lord of all of our life. And surrender brings this kind of focus to our life. It puts all our efforts into seeking God and allowing him to guide us. And that focus takes us away from our selfish desires. So here's how you don't do the selfish part of this.
It takes intention. You have to be intentional about this process. And there are so many areas of our lives that where we really don't surrender anything.
Right. I can think of a lot of times when I've wanted to go home from work and a student is there waiting to talk to me, and maybe the student has a really serious problem, and I'm thinking, how inconvenient is this? I mean, I'm being honest here, you know. I don't want to deal with the student, but that person's need is so much greater than mine.
Right.
And so if I really am surrendering all, you know, then I will stay for that student. Or the easy one, a television show.
Turn off the TV.
I know, but sometimes, isn't it, it's kind of like I don't want to turn off the TV and have a quiet time.
Right.
But maybe I need to do that.
Social media as well. That's the burn there for me.
Are you a social media person?
I do spend some time on social media.
Are you on like Facebook or what are you doing? You are? You do that?
Facebook,
are you like on it all day long? One of those people who checks it constantly during the day?
No, but in lieu of meditation,
yeah,
it does get in the way there. And that's the convicting part.
Yeah. So that's a surrender all. So we're in the Lenten season. I wonder how many people have surrendered Facebook during this time. I don't know.
That would be
interesting to know.
Right.
Well, here's the third strategy. Take time for solitude and silence. And, you know, we were just talking a few minutes ago about everybody pulling at you in your family and in your household. And it's really hard in our busy world. I don't know. I have a hard time just sitting by myself. And yet I know when I do that, I really recharge. And I keep reminding myself that even Jesus had to rest. So if Jesus had to rest, I must really need to rest.
In the world we live in, we stay so busy. And these days, being a father, you know, working and doing what it is required of us, we feel guilty if we stop.
I know. Do you do that during the day? I mean, do you really find a way to? I mean, you live. I know I've seen where you live and you've got all these woods and everything. I mean, do you ever like walk out in the woods and just take a moment of silence and use that for prayer?
Just to get away and take a break. And if you can get past the guilt of stopping.
See, that's the thing, the guilt, isn't it?
We feel so responsible, but just like you said, Jesus stopped.
He did.
Took a break.
He had to recharge, and I think that's really helpful for us to remember. Well, let's go with the fourth strategy, which is to simplify your life as much as possible. Mm-hmm. This is obviously a stress reducer when we can simplify things.
Right.
We kind of lose the clutter. We remove all the distractions. And again, it is kind of a focusing on the things of God. And when we do that, again, when I'm much more focused in on who God is and what he does and, you know, knowing that I need to abide in him like we've talked about, then I do seem to feel like I'm getting a little bit more rest. And it does give me some direction and some peace.
Sometimes you look at people and think, just don't do that with your life. Your time could be so much better spent.
I know. We do get distracted, don't we? We're kind of like an ADHD culture.
Mm-hmm.
I get real pulled away by people. Just conversations and talking. And the next thing I know, I'm at work and I've got five assignments due and I've been talking and having a great time with people.
Right. This sort of goes along with the social media thing. I've got an interest in history. So I'll tend to, let me Google that, see how that goes.
Ah.
The next thing I know, I'm an hour deep in all of this wonderful history I'm learning, but it's a waste of time.
You're not doing biblical history, I take it.
No, generally not.
All right. Well, our fifth strategy is a really tough one. Keep the Sabbath. Mm. And most of us are guilty, and I can raise my hand on this one, of not resting on one day of the week. Yet this is one of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And we're supposed to dedicate a day or a period of time to relax and rejuvenate the body and rejuvenate our mind and spirit.
I sound like a broken record because I keep going back to this guilt issue of stopping and taking a break to recharge yourself. But yeah, that's our pastor did talk about that. And he said, don't you think that if you were to actually do what God said, he'll give you the rest you need?
I know. That was a very convicting sermon.
Right.
I was looking. We're sitting in the choir so we can see everybody's face. And everybody's kind of looking down and kind of thinking, I don't know if I can do that. But so good. And it is one of the Ten Commandments. All right. Number six, be in a spiritual community. So we're saying surround yourself with people who will encourage you, who will pray with you, be there for you in difficult times. Because, look, we're all made for relationships. That's what this show is about. Mm. And we get revitalized by healthy Christian relationships. So self-care includes building a community of believers with whom we do life.
You know, we had a sort of an organic small group start at our church. It's us and three or four other couples. And so really, it's not a structured thing. We just get together, and we do have a book that we go through. Even though we are studying the Bible, learning the Word, we're also commiserating.
Yeah, you are.
Because
and
there's other people doing what we're doing.
You love that group, don't you?
It's great, yes.
You guys talk about that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's one more. We got to get this one in before we go to the break. It's work on stress management from a biblical perspective. So this means that we approach the stress in our lives from a position of love and humility, not competition and pride. So think about it. A lot of times we're stressed because we're always trying to compete with other people, or we want to do things our own way. And we put a lot of stress on ourselves because we don't like to ask for help, or we're just trying to get ahead and get to somebody. So I think that a great stress reduction strategy is to do something like contemplative prayer or the quiet meditation we've been talking about, or even deep breathing or renewing the mind daily and using humor and other stress management skills. His promise is that he will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind stayed on him. That's what Jesus, again, says to us.
I love the way we're focusing on staying strong in the Lord as a major way to address self-care. And that is today's topic, is self-care selfish? And we are looking at it from a Christian perspective. We'll continue our conversation after the break right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online.
Dr. Linda Mental's latest book, We Need to Talk, is available now in bookstores everywhere. Or visit her online at drlindahelps.com, drlindahelps.com.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. And available online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Our topic today is biblical self-care, why it's important, and how do we actually do it? And just a reminder that you can connect with Dr. Linda on social media, on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps, and on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on her website, drlindamental.com. And Dr. Linda, what strikes me is that the mindset about self-care is so different. What we're talking about today is the Christian type of self-care, and it's not self-focused just for the sake of us, is it?
No, and that's a big difference, and that's why we want to continue to say this isn't a selfish thing as we're doing this. As Christian human beings, we're aware that all we are, all that we do, all that we have, even our very breath and life comes from God. So apart from God, and this is a scripture, it says we can do nothing. If we have that perspective, Chris, that's going to be okay. We're not going to tend to go into a selfish kind of mode if we think that apart from God, we really can't do anything. That's why abiding in Christ, like we talked about earlier, is just so important, because it keeps us in that constant communication and it reminds us that we are nothing apart from God.
What we're actually talking about is more about a lifestyle of worship directed towards the living God as a posture of health.
Yeah, I like that. It's what we were created to be and how we were created to live in a relationship with God and even other people in the world. So abiding in Christ as members of his body also means that we're very interdependent with one another, and we care for one another. We care for one another's burdens. You can look at Galatians 6:2. That's a scripture. By God's grace, we serve one another as good stewards of God's resources. As children of God and members of the body of Christ, we give to and receive from God and others. So there's this reciprocal self-care that's going on for each other. And some people call it the we care. Mm. Have you ever heard that phrase?
Yes.
I mean, community care. I think our church uses community care. Isn't that the phrase that they use for taking care of one another?
Sounds more familiar than we care, yeah.
And I've heard God care, we care, but this is the idea that we're interdependent in the body of Christ.
I think we don't want to be so self-sufficient and independent and prideful that we think that we can care for others and ourselves on our own strength.
That's the key.
Right. We have to be careful that we're not so self-sufficient that it ends up being prideful.
I know, and that really is what we have to guard against. And that's what I think is the distinction from the secular view, that it's all about me and what I'm going to do for me so that I can be the best me. But we really want to talk about it in terms of depending on Christ and, again, that whole idea of Christian community. So as God works in us and he's healing us, he's redeeming us, he's refreshing us, as he does all this with us, then we begin to be able to pour that out to the other people around us. And that's why it's important. I have a former colleague of mine who I used to teach with at Wheaton College. He's now at George Fox University. His name is Dr. Mark McMinn. And this is what he says about Christian self-care, and I love this. He says, it's an accurate sense of the self allows us to recognize our responsibility to God, to others, and ourselves. And having a healthy awareness of brokenness keeps us humble and helps us fight our natural propensity towards self-centeredness. Hmm. So he's talking about that whole idea of knowing that we can't do anything apart from God. So he's saying, be a good steward of everything that God has given you, including your body. Right. And including your mind and including your emotions and all of these resources that we have, make sure that we're always looking at those in the context of who we are in Christ and what Christ is doing in us. So I love that. I think it means that we go beyond self-care in some ways to embracing what some people called sanctified suffering at times. Have you ever heard? I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase. It was a little bit of a new phrase for me, but I read that in something that I had seen, and it really grabbed me, because it means that there are times in our lives when we can be knocked down, we can be stretched in terms of some suffering that we might be going through. But this is the way that God is maturing us, and right. This is a stretching beyond self-care, really to a sacrificing and suffering that God sometimes moves us through.
You know, God does take us beyond self-care by caring for us and having others in the Christian community care for us as well. And we mentioned a minute ago the we care and community care.
It's important, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I just, you need people to hold you up. You know, so as we're not just focusing on us, we're also noticing that someone is doing something for us, and then we want to do something back to that person. So I think it's so important that this is a part of our spiritual formation almost, as we're praying and we're meditating on the word and we're doing all the things that help us grow and even promote resiliency in our lives, the more that we're digging deep into God and who He is in our life. And then we're setting healthy boundaries with other people, and we're resting on the Sabbath day, and we're paying attention to our physical care. All of this is going to strengthen us in a way that is going to allow us to minister to other people.
I see it as a way to help keep us from obsessing on things that are just simply not that important, and preventing us from overlooking or becoming too isolated from the church body. Because if we begin to prioritize things that don't have anything to do with abiding in Christ, then it's all over the map.
Yeah, and like you were talking about, we overwork a lot of times because of that too. So we need to remember, and here's a big takeaway from this, that poor physical health often ends in ministry limitations for somebody. Have you thought about that?
Yes.
When you're in poor health, it's harder to get up. It's harder to do the things that God has called you to do. So taking care of your physical body is not selfish when you think about how it helps you stay involved in fruitful ministry. And one major way that we are different from those who come at this from a purely secular view is to remember that as the people whose identities are found in Christ, we also keep check on our sinful desires, such as pride and self-dependence and self-sufficiency, independence from God's will, and all those other things that we've been talking about.
This means spiritual discipline and self-care are, in fact, related. And Dr. Linda, I think you would agree that engaging in prayer, Bible study, solitude and silence, fasting, worship, confession, and other things of that nature that help us just center ourselves on God are extremely important.
And as we are instructed in James, we have to be more than just hearers of the word, right? We have to be doers of the word. So self-care involves doing things that keep you positioned for Christian service. So let's each of us live in sober judgment of our lives against the word of God. Let's ask for spiritual wisdom and discernment. Let's identify any idols that hinder us from our lifestyle of holistic health as followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. And let's engage in biblical self-care. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Doing life together.
Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.